Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Good morning, Dino. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. You know, I know that you are an optimist by nature. You tend to look at the glass as half full. But 12 weeks ago, prior to opening against Cincinnati, did you ever imagine it could work out so well? To this point, I understand, 10-2, number one in the power rankings, and pretty much everybody's favorite to get to the Super Bowl this year.
Well, you know, I thank you for the optimist comment, and I look at the glass three-quarters full.
Three-quarters.
But, you know, every year our objective is to win our division, and every year since I've owned the team, since 1994, I believe we've had a chance to do that, and I'm really excited where we are right now. But I also think back to the 0-1 season when we were 5-5, you know, after 10 games. And, you know, then we won 9 straight games in that great 0-1 season and wound up winning the Super Bowl. So there's still a lot of things that can happen. So we got to just stay cool and take it one game at a time.
You said prior to Monday Night Football that this Jets-Patriots game was, in your estimation, and I believe I'm quoting you correctly here, the biggest regular season game in your tenure as owner of the New England Patriots. With it now behind you and having seen it go the way it went, was it the most fun?
It was. You know, one of the things, well, it, you know, the stakes were so high.
Right.
In terms of winning that game versus not what it would have meant for us. I mean, if we had lost that, we would have been swept in the division series by the Jets. And so we pretty much, our only chance at the playoffs probably would have been being a wild card, fifth or sixth seed. And now our fans hopefully have a chance of hosting one, if not two games here at Gillette. So that's a big, big swing. And you know, we just got to keep it going now the next few weeks. And, you know, the other thing that was amazing to me, and it really was such a total team effort in winning the game on all phases of the game. It was actually lopsided, but it wound up being the third highest rated Patriots game in the history of television in this market, which was amazing to me that it got, you know, over a 42 household rating share, and it was a one-sided game. So it just speaks about the great support the fans have given us here, which we're most appreciative of.
As all this winning changed anything with Logan Mankins, do you think he'll be back next year? Obviously, he's a great player. You guys are rolling since he got back, and we know the history there. Any chance that you guys shake hands and announce a deal sometime in the next month?
Well, first of all, Logan, we've always known as a great player. And, you know, since he's been on the team, he hasn't missed a game. He's started every game that he's been here. And he does a great job. I think him coming in the way he did, it just made a statement about what he's about at the core. I know he's happy to be here. I know we're very happy that he's here, and I hope and believe he'll be here for the long term.
You do. Can't you make that happen?
You know, one thing I've learned is in business transactions that if we get the media involved in adjudicating or participating in the negotiation, sometimes all the facts don't come out the right way. So we try to do our negotiations in private and do what's best for the particular business we're involved in. That's what we'll do here. I think he's happy to be here. We're happy he's here, and my hope is we find a way to keep him here long term.
Let us know if you change your mind, if you want to do it. You know,
I'll make the commitment. If we change our mind, hey, be the first person we call.
You know what? You've told the story 100 times. I know it's old news, but I think about this all the time when I see Bill Belichick in his odd, you know, unique way, you know, leading his team to another unlikely victory. I wonder how you knew he had this in him. I know it was a controversial pick, and you kind of got killed around here for hiring this kind of mopey, monotone guy who didn't have a great run in Cleveland. But is that like the smartest thing you've ever done in business, is realizing what Belichick was capable of?
Well, I don't know if I've done smart things. I just know that in life you try to differentiate yourself in any business and try to give quality product, and you know, it's important when you're running an institution and trying to lead an institution that you look to see things in a way that other people don't see. Because, I mean, if it's obvious to everyone, then everyone's going to do it. And the way you differentiate is to try to see things that other people can't see. And the choice of Bill Belichick, you know, I was just comfortable that when I got to know him in 96, that, you know, he was a manager. The football had changed when we bought the team in 94, and we had a salary cap, which meant economics and understanding value and the value of players became as important as how you coach people. And your evaluation of personnel had to have a financial part to it. And I learned in 96 that Bill had a unique understanding. The first thing that comes to mind is when he was leaving here with the Parcells crew, and you know, he said to me, "Make sure you sign Troy Brown." And I remember not everyone was in support of that, but he saw things, and he understood what he meant to Bledsoe. And you know, I just thought about other things he had told me, and so when I had the chance to review what we're doing and in the start of this decade or this century, you know, I just felt he was the right person for me. And you know, in life, and I'm sure you both have known this too, that these kinds of, in this business, it's not like a cookie cutter approach that you can use engineer structured thinking. It is things that are outside the box, and you have to understand what you're comfortable with. And because it works for me doesn't mean it's right for someone else, you know? And I think that's something that probably the general public doesn't fully appreciate or understand.
Robert, I'm sure there's some basic principles that you and Belichick share in terms of how the team should be coached and how the financial aspects of it should be run. You mentioned the word value. It's something that's mentioned quite a bit. Is one of those basic core principles the suggestion that the quality of your roster in depth from 1 to 53 is important to get you through a 16-game schedule, and maybe not as important to make a big splash with a lot of money at the top of the page, such as an Albert Haynesworth or anybody else you care to mention?
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and there's no right way. I can only say for us, we've tried to put an organization in place, and we do this in all our businesses, where we try to think long-term. And, you know, so much of what's going on in America today is short-term thinking, and the public companies report on Wall Street, and they got to do whatever makes the 90-day report card look good. We're private, and we've tried to take a longer view, and we've tried to give Bill the autonomy in his thinking to think about what's correct years down the road, because we just don't want to be good this year. Excuse me. And if you think about it, where we are, I sort of like where we are as a team right now. We have five of the first 75 picks in the draft, which is the highest number any club has had in the last 20 years. You know, the last time that happened was Dallas in 91 when they did that trade with Herschel Walker. We actually have three of the first 33 picks because we, you know, we have the Carolina pick, first pick in the second round. And so you think about it, we got 10% of the first 33 picks, and we're only 3% of the league.
And a rookie salary cap about to happen, probably.
Well, we hope so. But, you know, the other thing is right now we are on pace for the highest number of rookie starts in our franchise history. We have the most starts of in the league by first and second year players. 20 of our 53 players are in their first or second year. So, and we've gone from the fifth oldest starting defense in the league to the youngest one right mm-hmm. now. So I like the way our team is set up. If we do a wise job of selecting players in the future, we've positioned ourselves to hopefully be able to compete for the next few years.
Robert, I don't know if you rate the performance of your head coach or your team from year to year. I'm sure you do. Maybe you don't do it publicly, and I understand this year isn't over yet. But when you look at what you just said, you went from the Harrisons and the Brewskis and the Vrabels and the Seows to the youngest defense in the National Football League, and not only have remained competitive, at this point you are 10-2. Does this rate at or near the top of the job Belichick has done for you, flipping this defense from old to young and still winning 10 out of the first 12 games?
Well, we're going to wait till the end of the season.
I knew you would.
To see what happens. I've just seen that. It's like I told you in 01. Think about it. We were 5-5, and then we won the next 9 games. So things can change, and I think Bill has been wise in stating to the team that if you're good, the season really starts after Thanksgiving. We've fortunately had a pretty good record in December, and we just hope we continue it. And if we do, we continue it, then it looks like we have the potential to have some real fun around here in January.
I really do hate labor talk, but I just will say this. Several weeks ago, you went on the record and said you were optimistic, in fact, might have said very optimistic, that a labor deal will be done and there won't be a work stoppage. In those 2 weeks since you've made those comments, has anything happened to change your opinion of that one way or the other?
Yeah, no, and I think just to be precise, what I said is I think there was a real good chance to get a deal done before the season's over. And I think, you know, some people interpreted that to mean the end of the calendar year. And for me, it means the year that goes through this labor agreement, which is really through the end of February, you know, and free agency starts in the beginning of March. It would be criminal if we let this thing develop to a point where we had labor strife. I mean, our ratings are so high. Knowing what I know about the marketplace, there are people who want to continue to brand and attach themselves to us. And if we, just to put it in perspective, if we have a labor problem, and, you know, in most labor negotiations, you know, you put your offer in and it's high, and they put their offer in and it's low, and you go back and forth and you play this charade game. And then at the last minute you settle, let's say Labor Day weekend, we will collectively lose $1 billion of revenue if we do that. The players receive close to 60% of that revenue right now. In a new deal, it probably will be somewhere in the mid-50s. They still are the major beneficiaries. We will collectively lose that and I think also aggravate the American public in a way that, given this economic time, I think part of the reason that our ratings are so high, and it's unbelievable what they're doing in every market, is that people want the NFL. And I think we're fortunate in America today to be part of a thriving business. The fan support has been wonderful. And, you know, I just don't think the fans will talk. I think there'll be a tremendous backlash. And so it's a real challenge to both sides, with all due respect to the many great lawyers in this country, but especially the lawyers working on both sides on this deal. We have to get a business-like approach on both sides of the table. And the makings of a deal are there, in my opinion, and I just hope we're wise enough to do it.
When you see the viciousness and the violence when you're in the locker room, Bob, you see them limping around, you see the injuries. It's a great game. It's a great product. But do you really think these players can stand, can withstand two more regular season games per year?
Well, that's a good question. Right now, the schedule is 20 games. So what we're doing is saying, instead of 4 of those games be preseason, that we make 2 of them. Our fans definitely want it, and I just think we have to manage it in a way, you know, whether we have to expand the rosters or you know, unless, I don't know any business, and maybe you and Dino are willing in your next contract to take a reduction in pay, and if you are, you know, maybe that's fine. But the only way we can continue to grow revenue and pay the players more is to grow the business. And we look at it as a 20-game season now, and we're just making 2 of those games regular season games. It will require better management. You know, it's interesting that most of the accidents that occur and the injuries in this business are usually in the first half of the season. Well, people are going through their training, you know, in training camp. In the second half of the season, you don't have as many injuries.
And when I would say when Bill Belichick traded Randy Moss, and everyone around here was stunned, and some of us were confused, and it took a while to realize the genius of that move. I'd say that was like the quintessential Belichick move. I don't think there was one other GM or coach who would do that mid-season trade, that kind of player, in the face of the, you know, public opinion, the media criticism. But obviously Belichick's a different kind of cat here. Did you understand it? Did you ask him for an explanation? Did it make sense at the time, and how do you feel about it now?
Well, we discuss things and understand all major decisions before they're done, and have an opportunity to participate. And remember, we're always looking at the long term here. We're not trying to just win the game this week. We want to win the game in the next few years. And how you differentiate yourself is by doing things that aren't conventional. As long as you have a long-term view and the security is there that if you do something in the short term that doesn't make sense, you know, the job security is there. You can look around the league and you see, you know, how certain coaches, I think it's 3 coaches this year, have been fired during the season. So it's a business that breeds insecurity, and our job as ownership and top management is to create an environment where we encourage entrepreneurial decision making, doing what's in the best interest of the team first. A lot of this business, it's not just straight athletic skills, it is the chemistry of the locker room. It's the chemistry of a relationship, and there's a lot of factors that go into it. And, you know, in the end, we're just trying to make our team better week in, week out.
Hey, Robert, we end with a couple of quick-hitting questions for you. The debate has forever been, well, not forever, but for a long time, Brady or Manning, Manning or Brady, and generally a 50-50 split depending on where you live and for whom you root. Has Brady separated himself from that conversation and ended that debate in your mind?
Well, in my mind, if I'm given a choice, knowing what I know, I think Tom Brady is just very special and by far the best player in the league, and it's why at the beginning of this season, I mean, I just think about what would have been happening in this market if what's happening in Indy were happening here, and think how you guys would be having fun, and you'd be chastising us, I don't know that you'd criticize him, but what you'd be saying is we should have signed him, or because the insecurity, you know, we had a situation where, and this just goes back to our philosophy as a team, we did what was right for both the short and long term of this franchise. We didn't have to do a deal. We did a deal. We wanted him to have security, peace of mind. We also thanked him for the job he's doing. And he didn't have to think about his contract. He can only focus on football and putting our team in the best position to win. We're lucky to have this guy as a quarterback. And I'm sure anyone who's a true fan of this team understands how special he is.
After what we saw on Monday Night Football on the telecast, the following question I think is appropriate. Whose hair needs the attention of Mr. Suisa more, the Donald or the Brady?
Donald needs thumbtacks.
I'm thinking of my friend Elton and his song "Candle in the Wind." I don't know if you. That was one of the. You know what's good is, I'd like you guys to advise me. The Donald thinks that we should pay him for getting so much attraction to the Patriots. I'm not sure he thinks that the team's performance on its own. It's his presence and
his... Oh, yeah.
His hair was trying to start the wave, and you didn't cooperate.
He calls me on a Friday to come to a game when I'm playing the Jets. Now, he's a New Yorker, but he has pretty much put his allegiance with the Patriots and our team. And so I just, anytime we can send a message back to New York that one of their quotation mark celebrities is a New England Patriot fan and is willing to go on the line, we just like that message, and I hope we can continue to send it.
So that leads me to my final question. In fact, it's from a texter. A texter wants me to ask you, how do you make up the guest list to your private box for each and every game?
Well, we call Dennis and Callahan
to get their
advice.
Ask us first.
Whatever is going to make good fodder for their show, that's that's what drives us. And please keep sending us the names, and we'll do that. And you'll like who we have in Chicago.
Really?
Ooh. Oh, is that a tease?
Huh?
Is that a tease?
Well, I know that Jerry only watches the Red Zone, so he won't get the details of what goes on. But isn't that Red Zone special?
It's awesome.
Oh, we never watch when the Patriots are on, but if you have a 4 o'clock game or your Monday night or Sunday night.
Can we guess who you will be joining in Chicago?
Sure.
Oprah. Okay. Oprah.
Well,
Obama.
Okay. Keep those are good guesses.
Who else is from Chicago? Bill Murray.
All the favorite Jerry Callahan candidates.
Harry Carey.
No, he's not making it.
Hey, who's the smartest guy you know?
Who's the smartest?
I mean, you got a lot of famous friends.
Putting Dennis and Callahan out?
Yes. Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, no, I'll have to answer that the next time I come on. I need some thought with that one. You know, the key to life is just hanging out with good people and smart people. And so I'm blessed to have a lot of good friends that are pretty darn smart.
Would you say that somebody that sits in that box every week might be in that conversation?
Well...
Myra?
Have you guys drunk a lot of coffee?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, it's getting... I think we can get this on a higher plane.
All right.
Anyhow, we're excited. Think about it. We play two NFC teams the next 2 weeks. Our schedule is really a brutal schedule, and that's part of what I'm proud of, that we have this core of veterans blended with these new guys. And if we can get through the next couple of weeks and get a good seed, we can really have some fun here come the turn of the year.
Yeah, just 7 games of the Super Bowl, Robert. That'll be fun.
Okay. Hey, thank you for letting me share some time with you guys. And you be well.
Thanks very much.